This is I Choose Life News and Views, sponsored by Indiana Right to Life and Allen County Right to Life, committed to defending innocent human life for all people of all ages. Your hosts are Kathy Humbarger, Amanda Banks, and Scott Kump.
Welcome to I Choose Life News and Views. I'm Kathy Humbarger.
I'm Amanda Banks.
And I'm Scott Kump. Choose Life News and Views is a joint project of Allen County Right to Life, Indiana Right to Life, and Bot Radio Network in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
The national abortion rate is now at its lowest since 1973. The Alan Guttmacher Institute reports that in 2011, there were slightly over 1 million abortions in the United States. That's 500,000 fewer than in 1990, when the number of abortions peaked at 1.6 million. Operation Rescue reports the reduction in abortion coincides with a record number of new pro-life state legislative acts and clinic closures in the last 2 years. In Fort Wayne, abortion numbers also decreased in the same period. Currently, Dr. Ulrich Klopfer, the abortionist in Allen County, is only providing pre-abortion consultations in Fort Wayne as required by Indiana law. Since January 1st, no abortions have taken place in Allen County when Klopfer lost his backup relationship with a local doctor. You're up to date with the local culture of life. I'm Kathy Humbarger.
This is your AFA Indiana News Minute. In a new clinic in Buffalo, New York, babies will be delivered in one room and killed in abortions in another. The new birthing center will provide an alternative for women seeking to give birth outside of a hospital. But it will also do abortions, setting up a terrible irony. Babies will be welcomed into life in one room, and down the hall, their lives will be snuffed out in abortions. Writing at Slate, pro-abortion blogger Amanda Marcotte loves the plan because she claims it helps mainstream abortion appear no different than legitimate prenatal and birthing care. Supposedly, it's comforting to be able to have a doctor who will either kill or deliver your baby, depending on your mood. Pro-abortion groups say the new clinic will counteract the notion that abortion providers are sleazy death lovers who just want to make money. The same doctor who is performing abortions is also delivering babies. There's more online at afain.net.
This from IRTL.org. Indiana Right to Life is denouncing the giving of a Torchbearer Award, noted on the state's website as the state of Indiana's most prestigious recognition of women, to CEO of Indiana's largest abortion business, Planned Parenthood, Betty Cockrum. The honor was bestowed upon Cockrum on March 5th at an awards ceremony held at the Indiana Historical Society by the Indiana Commission for Women, a state commission established by an act of the legislature. Now, we commented very briefly on this story last week, but this week we've got a little more time to unpack this story, so I've asked Mike Fichter of Indiana Right to Life to join us over the phone in that unpacking, so to speak. Mike, thank you for helping us here.
Always glad to be on the show.
Do you have any background on the Torchbearer Award itself?
We know that this is the 10th anniversary of the Torchbearer Award. We know it's something that has been given to a variety of women in Indiana throughout the years, and we know that it's an award that intrinsically there's no issue with the award itself. In fact, one of the recipients this year was Lieutenant Governor Sue Elsterman, who is a very strongly pro-life individual and has been very helpful for us at the State House. But I think it's fair to say that for the most part, the Torchbearer Award and the Indiana Commission for Women have been really off radar for most individuals in the state of Indiana. It is a very prestigious award. In fact, on the state's own website, it is noted as the highest honor that can be given to any woman in the state of Indiana. So it's a very significant award, one that honestly we haven't been aware of prior to this year, but one that, as you've introed this discussion, has now risen to a point of very high concern for us.
Now, some of our listeners will know why Indiana Right to Life would be upset about this, but in case they're a little ambiguous on that, why don't you explain?
Well, the award this year was given to a recipient who is the CEO of Planned Parenthood of Indiana and Kentucky, and it's outrageous to us that the state's highest award honoring women has been given to a woman who leads an organization that is the largest abortion business in the state of Indiana. It's an abortion business that we have estimated conservatively during her time as the CEO of Planned Parenthood that Planned Parenthood has killed over 50,000 unborn children through chemical and surgical abortions in its four abortion clinics across the state of Indiana. So that in and of itself just makes it an outrageous thing for the state to do, to honor a woman who has literally overseen the management of four abortion clinics in Indiana, as well as all of the other objectionable things that Planned Parenthood does in this state. But then you take that core issue of the involvement with the deaths of 50,000 kids in the state of Indiana.
And let's not forget to point out that a lot of those kids are female. So this is an award that, as it was explained to me, it's supposed to go to women who have broken down barriers for all women. That doesn't sound like an award you'd want to give to somebody who's contributed to the killing of a lot
of... Exactly. A lot of little baby girls never made it out of the womb alive because of the work of Planned Parenthood and the management of Betty Cochran of that organization. You could also add to that the number of women who are now suffering as a result of an abortion, whether it's through physical injury or psychological or spiritual issues that they're dealing with right now as a result of an abortion, whose lives have been devastated by this. These are women that are now sitting here in the state of Indiana watching an award be given to someone who manages that abortion business here in the state of Indiana. So that is obviously deeply troubling. And then you expand that out a little bit further and you realize that during her time as the CEO of Planned Parenthood in Indiana, Planned Parenthood has literally, in combination with the ACLU, raked in millions of dollars from the state of Indiana by suing the state every single time we pass pro-life legislation. And of course, when the state loses those court battles, the state then has to turn around and cut a check to the ACLU or Planned Parenthood, whichever the case might be, to pay for all of the legal fees that they incurred in challenging the state of Indiana. So you've got that whole issue of someone whose organization has been responsible for millions of dollars of Indiana taxpayer funding being paid for legal fees that sues us every time that we turn around. You have that whole issue. And then you expand it even further and realize that here is a CEO leading an organization that the state's own legislature, by overwhelming action back in 2011, I believe, voted to remove all state-directed funding from that organization out of concern for the way it operates and not wanting tax dollars to go to it. So you just combine all of those pieces to the puzzle, and believe me, there are many more that we don't have time to talk about today. And the background of Planned Parenthood and its abortion business in the state of Indiana is so objectionable that it just makes the giving of this award beyond the pale for it's one of those what were they thinking moments with the Indiana Commission for Women.
Well, Mike, I want to touch on one of those other points before we get to how our listeners can take action, because this is another ironic point, if you will. Planned Parenthood has gotten caught multiple times covering up the sexual abuse of women, in some cases underage girls, and in some cases we're talking about sex trafficking. How is that advancing the cause of women?
Well, exactly. And that hasn't been that long ago. My memory seems to say we're talking maybe 3, 4, at the tops 5 years ago, but I'm going to say it was 3 years ago. Lila Rose and Live Action came to Indiana and went in to the Bloomington Planned Parenthood abortion clinic and the Indianapolis abortion clinic with a hidden camera and posed as if Lila was under the age of 14, asking how to avoid the parental consent laws in the state of Indiana. And listeners can still Google that on YouTube and see those videos. They're still out there. Live Action came in and caught Planned Parenthood counselors red-handed advising a woman who was portraying herself to be underage on how to avoid Indiana's parental consent law. And again, here's the organization whose CEO has now received the state's top honor for women.
Now, Mike, we're not taking this lying down. You've come up with a plan of action. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, we're asking everyone who shares our concern about this award to contact the Indiana Commission for Women and ask that this award be rescinded. We believe there is nothing that prevents this award from being rescinded. We're hoping that this is just a giant blunder that the Indiana Commission for Women has made, and that a public outcry on this will force them to step back and reconsider, you know, whether or not this award should have ever been given in the first place. We believe it's fully within the power of the Commission for Women to rescind this award. And so it's very important that every listener to this broadcast make their voices heard right now. And you can do that very simply by going to the Indiana Right to Life website. If you go to irtl.org, just go to that web address, and when the website loads up, you'll immediately see a box where it will prompt you. If you wish to join an online petition, you can click that, enter your name, and when you enter your name on that, it will not only send an email message to the executive director of the Indiana Commission for Women directly, but your name will be added to the hundreds of people who have already signed a petition. And in addition to that, it will also be tweeted out on Twitter so that folks that are following Indiana Right to Life will know that another name has been added to that petition. So it's a very easy way. Literally, it will take less than a minute for individuals to make their voice heard. And we just think this is one of those situations in which it's such an egregious violation of the public trust that we encourage every pro-life citizen to take that 1 minute, make their voices heard, and just tell the Indiana Commission for Women that this is outrageous, that this award has been given, and we're asking you to rescind that award.
And again, how do they access this petition?
Folks can go to irtl.org, just type in that address, and when that website loads up for you on your computer, you will see a box that pops up immediately that will prompt you on how to sign the online petition. Very simple process. It will take you well less than 1 minute, and it will make your voice directly heard to the executive director of the Indiana Commission for Women. And we really believe this is one of those moments in which public input is going to have a huge impact on what the Indiana Commission for Women does about this. I have to believe that there were members of that commission who maybe they just aren't informed about what Planned Parenthood does. Maybe they were just thinking they could slip this by and nobody was going to pay attention to it. But again, it's outrageous that in the state of Indiana, we are a conservative state, we're a very pro-life state. To have something like this happen, frankly, as a Hoosier, it's embarrassing, and history will show this to be a tragic award given to someone involved with the deaths of 50,000 children minimum here in the state of Indiana.
Again, that website is irtl.org. That's the website of Indiana Right to Life. And you can also go to that website to look at the press releases that I was reading from, because as Mike said, we didn't have time to go into everything. There are issues of Medicaid fraud and other things. And you can look up that information on irtl.org. Mike, is there a way for people to contact Indiana Right to Life by phone?
Yes. You can contact Indiana Right to Life by phone at 317-632-2242. And I can tell you that by the time this is broadcasting, we will also have a link online to a hard copy petition that folks can print off on their own computer and then take it to their church, take it to their friends and neighbors, and have individuals sign a petition that can then be mailed into the Indiana Commission for Women. And all of that information will be included on the petition. So it's just another way that we can help people make their voices heard.
Let's give that phone number and that website again.
Yes, the phone number is 317-632-2242. The website is irtl.org.
Once again, my guest today has been Mike Fichter of Indiana Right to Life. Mike, as usual, very informative. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Scott.
This is Kathy Humbarger. I am so honored with every guest that we have join us, but particularly today, because as the program unfolds, you will understand the thrill that I have to introduce our listening audience to Marianne Anderson. She has a very, very special and compelling story to share with us, and also Eileen Hartman of the Gabriel Project. Eileen is a returning guest. Thank you for being with us, Eileen.
Well, thank you for having me, Kathy.
And Marianne, I understand that you have agreed to do this radio interview even before you accepted an invitation to be on Bill O'Reilly and Laura Ingraham's program. So I consider this a special honor. Welcome to I Choose Life News and Views for one of what I know will be many visits.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, Marianne is an RN and is currently employed in a hospital in Indianapolis. But prior to that, Mary Ann, you were an employee of the largest abortion provider in the state of Indiana, the Planned Parenthood facility on Georgetown Road. I know from having talked with you briefly before the program that you've been a nurse for a number of years, so very well experienced and very skilled in what you do. But how did a nice lady like you end up at a place like Planned Parenthood?
I still ask myself that same question every day. I even ask myself that as I drove in there some days. What am I doing here? But I was kind of in between jobs, and jobs at that time were just not that plentiful. This place was close to home, and they made this offer to, they wanted to start up what they call the Conscious Sedation Program, where they offered IV sedation to the patients coming in to have the abortions.
And that's kind of the twilight sedation,
yes,
right?
Yes. Okay. You're not put completely asleep. You're right. You said you're kind of like in a twilight. Mm-hmm. And they really pumped up this program, made it sound like it would be a really special thing to be a part of.
You'd kind of a cutting edge
yes.
service to
You'll
women.
Be the only place in Indiana offering the conscious sedation.
For an abortion procedure.
For an abortion procedure. And you would be at the ground up level with this program.
Unlimited potential for career growth.
Yes.
Exactly. Tell us, at that time when you received this incredible offer, and I understand that Planned Parenthood does pay fairly well and has good fringe benefits, so I'm sure that was an attraction too. Were you at all concerned about the fact that they provided abortions, or had you not thought much about it?
I thought about it, and I was kind of on the fence. I hadn't given it a lot of thought. I was kind of on the fence about it just from previous experience at another hospital there where I took care of quite a few patients who had attempted to do their own abortions. And in the back of my mind, I thought, well, they need somewhere safe to go. They need a clean place to go. So what's wrong with having an abortion center mm-hmm. where they can go to?
At least it'll be safe and you'll be
right
helping women who've made this choice, as we're often told. But when once you got there, you realized it was not all that much of a choice at all.
Not at all.
Once they walked in the door, they were pretty much streamlined to the procedure room.
I call it Nat One. Even when I was first started working there, it was more like working in a factory or a production line.
Oh, wow.
People get them in, get them out.
Would you say that, and I don't want to put words in your mouth because the truth is bad enough, we don't have to make things up, but would you say that abortion is a very lucrative business for the Planned Parenthood organization?
From the time I started, I doubted what they said what percentage of their business it was. I think they did make far more money off abortions than what they, that was just my thoughts, my opinion, just from the money that I saw coming in there and knowing what they charged for it and knowing what they charged for other services in the clinics. I would love to see one of their sheets that tells what their income is.
I know, having been in the pro-life fight for a number of years, that oftentimes we hear from Planned Parenthood that they provide an abundance of health care for women other than abortions and contraceptives and that kind of thing. As a matter of fact, these are my words, but they almost want us to believe that there aren't enough cemeteries in the state of Indiana to hold all the women that would die if they didn't get taxpayer funds. Do you believe that to be true?
No, I really don't. I mean, I know they do provide some women's services.
But they're very, even though they're registered as a not-for-profit, they're very profit conscious.
They are very profit.
Would that be fair?
Conscious.
Well, Eileen,
yes.
How did you meet Mary Ann? How did somebody from a pro-life organization meet somebody working at Planned Parenthood?
Well, actually, I got an email from Abby Johnson. I didn't realize it was Abby Johnson at the time because it was signed by Abby, and we have an Abby in Columbus, where I'm from. So I thought I was communicating with our local Abby. But something she said made me realize, no, that's not our local person. And I went back and went down to the bottom, down by her signature, and realized, oh my gosh, this is Abby Johnson. And Mary Ann had been given the book, she found out about it through
Focus on the Family website.
You.
Okay.
That's right.
Through the book Unplanned? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, I got their emails.
Oh,
and it
okay.
had that book highlighted.
Okay.
One
and
month.
Unplanned, as everyone knows, is Abby Johnson's book that she's written chronicling her exit from the abortion business. So you had that book and contacted Abby?
Yes. I Googled her and found her and just sent her a random email and heard back from her. And
then she contacted you, Eileen.
Yes. When Marianne made the decision she'd like to leave, Abby thought it would be appropriate to have somebody local. So Abby contacted me personally, you know, knowing that I was with the Gabriel Project. And we have an office now, a Gabriel office, and also First Choice for Women, which is just around the corner from Planned Parenthood on 86th Street. So there was a proximity there. And even if we didn't have that, there was proximity by phone. And she just thought, you know, that would be an appropriate place to start.
Sure.
So I was delighted. And she gave me Marianne's name and phone number. I called her. We made connections by phone. We met. And then it just went on from there.
Now, Marianne, this wasn't a quick decision, as I understand it, because you're really turning your back on your livelihood. And those of us know that we develop bonds with our coworkers and really turning your back on a huge part of your way of life. How long did it take for you to actually, from the time you got the book and started considering leaving the abortion business until you made an untimely exit? And you might share a little bit about that as well.
Probably after reading, I read her book in about 2.5-3 days. And after that, it was the hardest thing in the world to go back to work. I think I went back to work for about maybe 4 or 5 months. And then I had some sick time built up, and I actually saw that sick time building up, and I had to have surgery done.
Mm-hmm.
And I selfishly stayed on longer to get that sick time.
Well, I don't know if that's selfishly, Marianne, because some of the information that we're going to be discussing during this program, you wouldn't have had if you hadn't been an employee there. So don't beat yourself up too badly. So then what happened when you returned from
sick? I returned from work. Most of my coworkers didn't even think I was even going to come back. But while I was off on my medical leave, I had a knee replacement done. I was filling out applications just a little, not a lot, because I was kind of hesitant thinking, is someone going to hire me fresh off surgery? And I was there a couple more months than before I exited the place.
But you weren't actually their star employee, as I understand it.
No.
And you were, in fact, conversing and connecting with Eileen to help other women who came in as patients that had second thoughts about having an abortion, I understand. And
yes.
So that was going on, and they probably knew it, don't you think?
I think they probably did, because they actually told us outright that they actually do tap the phones. And they do listen in on conversations. And I took a chance many times on that phone when callers would call in and they would be unsure what they wanted to do. And there was a few times I gave them Eileen's number of her facility to call. And if those girls were on the phone, they were crying or upset, I would just tell them, you know, you sound like you're really on the fence about this. Why don't you think about it? If you would like to call back, I told them you can ask for me and I could give you numbers or assistance here if you want it.
Wonderful. You did make it a choice for those women.
I did.
Eileen, do you think there are any babies that will have a birthday because Marianne was there to intercede for them and intercept them?
Yes, absolutely. I know it for a fact.
And we will never know exactly how many. So
that's right.
As you look back on those dark days, Marianne, just know that our God is big enough to take evil and turn it into good. God uses every circumstance for his purposes.
Thank you very much. I have found that out many, many, many ways.
So tell us about your last day at Planned Parenthood.
My last day, it was the day after July 4th. July 5th. I should have just said that. I was called into the office. They actually had me working that day in they call it the POC room.
And that is?
Stands for Products of Conception.
And that would be the little babies that are aborted.
And that room is where all the instruments that are used during the abortion procedure are cleaned, they're autoclaved, and that's also where the doctor would bring in the products of conception in a jar in one arm, and in the other hand, he was carrying the dirty instruments. And he would come in the room with that.
And so you were that was going to be your job?
That was my job for that day.
Okay.
We rotated different areas.
So they called you in?
They called me into the office, and I really was kind of blindsided. I didn't know what was going on. And they made up a few excuses saying that I hadn't fulfilled my tasks appropriately as their infection control person, and that I hadn't followed up with employee health about a little test we had to have done there just to stay employed. But yet I had the paperwork for it in my car, and mm-hmm. I offered to go get it, and they said, no.
You're done.
And,
tell me about your telephone.
And while I was in the office being fired, it was with the manager at that facility, and it was one of the vice presidents from the downtown office mm-hmm. was there, and they did this together. While I was in there being fired, I had my cell phone in my pocket, and my cell phone was vibrating in my pocket. I came real close to pulling that phone out just to see what was going on, but I resisted, and I was actually getting a call from the job I have right now. And it wasn't that I actually had the job, but at that point, they just said, it's looking pretty good. We've gotten all your references in. Everything looks really good. We'll be making this decision in the next day or so.
So while you were being fired, the Lord was giving you a message in your
Absolutely, yes. Your
pocket saying, don't be alarmed, child. I have this under control.
When God closes one door, he opened a wonderful door.
Oh, exactly. What a wonderful, wonderful story. An assurance to all of us that we need to do the right thing no matter what and trust that God will take care of us.
That's all the time we have this week. Tune in next week to hear part two of Kathy Humbarger's interview with Marianne Anderson and Eileen Hartman.
If you or someone you know is in a crisis pregnancy, call 877-791-5475. If you or someone you know is dealing with grief and pain after an abortion decision, call 877-791-5475. 5475. You'll be referred to a pregnancy resource center in your area, a place where free and confidential services are available. That's 877-791-5475. 877-791-5475.
You've been listening to I Choose Life News and Views. If you have questions about this program or if you'd like to support the fight for life, please call 260-471-1849 or go to ichooselife.org, because without the right to life, no other rights matter.